Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Welcome back to Smart Animal Talk. I'm your host today, veterinarian Dr. Carol Osborne, and our first guest is Jerry Durham. Welcome to the show, Jerry.
That's Jerry Dunham, and I thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're delighted to have you. Sorry about that, Dunham. And you run an organization called Coonhound Companions. What can you tell us about Coonhound Companions?
Well, the full name of it is Coonhound and Foxhound Companions, and it's an organization that's been around about 3 years. Our goal is to promote coonhounds and foxhounds as family pets. They are often seen languishing in shelters with no interest, and yet they make excellent pets, but people don't recognize that.
And you were telling me that you're not an actual rescue organization, but an advocacy.
That is correct, and we do work with many rescue organizations. I personally am involved in rescue here in Texas, but that's not the Coonhound Companions' focus.
And what is the focus of Coonhound Companions?
Well, we've put together a number of projects to try to support these breeds and try to help them find homes. We have a program where we offer monetary pledges to animals that are in shelters that have illnesses or injuries and otherwise would not be able to be adoptable or rescuable. We have a series of posters that we are developing into a larger shelter kit for shelters to help them market these animals. We have a website that promotes our breeds and explains them to people who don't understand them. And we have a Facebook page.
Can you share the website and the Facebook page with our pet loving listeners?
Yes, our website is www.coonhoundcompanions.com. We have actually two Facebook pages. Coonhound Companions Facebook page is primarily devoted to just supporting the breeds and having kind of fun stuff about them and have a place for people to post stories about them. We also have a separate page called the Coonhound Rescue Network page where people post animals in shelters in need of rescue or adoption. It's a very, very active page.
Yeah, and then you said you have a Facebook page?
That's the Facebook page.
So people would log on to you and they would go facebook.com/, what would they type in there?
I've never gone about it that way, so I don't know. I mean, if you go to Facebook, there is a field at the top where you can type in the name of whatever you're going to, and you can type in Coonhound Companions to see our page that just has stories about coonhounds. You can type in the Coonhound Rescue Network, and it will pop up our page where we list animals in need.
Now, tell me, what can you tell our viewers about, you know, some of the traits and characteristics, personality, if you will, that might help them to make a coonhound or a foxhound, you know, a good choice for adoption? Well, could you highlight some of the good, you know, characteristics of the breeds for our listeners?
Well, I'll actually go good and bad because every breed has both good and bad. And also I have to say that no matter what the breed, there are individual animals that haven't read the manual for that breed. So anyone looking to get any breed ought to research the individual carefully and make sure that's a fit for them. In the case of coonhounds, the general characteristics are that they are very easygoing. They're very, very social. They were bred to hunt in large packs, so they're very easy to fit into an existing family situation. They're very good with kids. On the downside, many, not all, but many can be very loud. And that can be a problem if you have close neighbors and leave them outside.
Okay. Now, yeah. And, you know, as a veterinarian, one of the down things that I could say about coonhounds is they've got those long, flappy ears. So if you're out there thinking of adopting a coonhound, you have to be prepared to deal with those ears every day. That's kind of like a Cocker Spaniel or even a Basset Hound. Any breed with the big, long, flappy ears has to have ears addressed. But I agree with you, Jerry. I think they've got fabulous personalities. But the howling, that gets a little bit much for some people, and they're big, so size is a concern. Now, how can you contrast that to a nice little foxhound? What can you tell our listeners about characteristics of a foxhound, you know, that they might consider that for a potential adoption pet?
Well, one of the reasons that we tend to lump them together is that from a pet owner's standpoint, there's almost no difference between a foxhound and a coonhound. From a hunter's standpoint, there are some fairly subtle characteristics that make a big difference to them. But to a pet owner, it really doesn't matter. The characteristics are pretty much the same.
Right. Well, let's see. As a veterinarian, I can tell you I'm also someone that grew up showing hunters and jumpers, so I'm very familiar with the coonhounds and the foxhounds. Of course, In the world of equestrian sports, the foxhounds are always out there chasing the fox. I think as a veterinarian, they make great pets. They've got lots of energy. Probably a great pet if you have children, and especially boys that want to tear up and have a good time. And they have a tendency to tear up your gardens because they're ornery with lots of energy, but they're wonderful, wonderful little dogs. As far as the negative side, other than on a coonhound, they're pretty big and they sort of howl a little bit. Is there any negative aspects to the breed that you can think of that we've not covered?
The primary one is that they're very athletic animals, and unless you have at least a 6-foot fence, and unless your hound is a senior, it can go over your fence. It may not choose to, but that's something to think about. If you don't have a good solid fence, there's a potential that they can go over your fence.
So they're escape artists. Now
they can be.
Tell me something. There's something called a hound song. What can you tell us about that?
Well, they bay. Not all hounds bay. The plot hounds are a little bit different and don't bay like the rest of the hounds. But many people refer to that as hound song. And those of us who like it think it sounds beautiful. Your next door neighbor may not think that way at all. It can be very loud, but it can be very musical. Kind of like Malamutes and Huskies have a very musical voice.
Exactly. Now, is there any truth behind the theory that because they've got such long ears, that their hearing is very, very keen?
I think their hearing is probably pretty typical of dogs that are bred for a hunting environment, whether you're talking about retrievers or pointer setters. I think it's pretty much typical.
Okay. Well, Jerry, I want to thank you for joining us today, and I want to ask you to stay with us. Jerry, tell our viewers one more time how people can find out more about Coonhound Companions.
The best place is our website, www.coonhoundcompanions.com. If you have specific questions, we have an email address, info@coonhoundcompanions.com.
Well, Jerry, I want to thank you and ask you to stay right with us. And I want to ask all of our pet-loving listeners to stay with us for this brief station break. And we will be right back with more from Smart Animal Talk.
I'm your doggy,
I'm your doggy,
and I love you.
And
you know that I really do.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend.
NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Welcome back to Smart Animal Talk. I'm your host today. I'm veterinarian Dr. Carol Osborne, and we've got a great show for you, folks. We've got all kinds of callers with all kinds of pet questions. So for all of you pet-loving listeners out there, if you've got a dog, a cat, a ferret, a skunk, even a horse, go ahead, go to allpawspettalk.com. Scroll halfway down the homepage. You can enter your name, your question, the host that you would like to address your questions, and we'd love to hear from you. So our first caller on the line today, I believe, is Katie. Hi, Katie.
Are you
there?
I am. Thank you.
Hi, Katie. Welcome to Smart Animal Talk. What's your pet question?
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Well, I have a 2-year-old golden retriever who, over the last few weeks, has decided to act out and eat all the food that she can find, no matter how hard we try to hide it. So in the last few days, she did eat a plate of cookies, and today is presenting with, yesterday, started presenting with some sort of a rash on her belly. So I guess my question is this normal? Is it something that will just detox out of her body? And what do I do besides hide the food better as a pet owner?
And what's your dog's name, Katie?
Her name is Koa.
Koa. Okay, so we've got a 2-year-old golden retriever named Koa, and apparently she got into the holiday cookie stash, and now she's got some lesions or some red marks on her belly, and her owner, Katie, is wondering what to do. Well, first of all, making sure that your holiday cookies and whatnot are put away out of Koa's reach is a very good thing to do, especially if there's any left. number two,
nope.
please don't worry. Lots of dogs tend to get into the cookies and whatnot, and the fact that she's okay and she's just got a little belly rash, I think is fine. Keep in mind that if you're living in this part of the country where we've got all kinds of snow and cold weather today, most dogs will go and they'll seek heat. So if you have little furnaces or, little radiators, sometimes if they're lying on the ground, they could get a rash just from the heat. It could be a contact allergy or something else that she's come into contact with. I doubt that it has anything to do with the cookies that she ate. Although you might see a little bit of loose stool, over the next day or two, which should resolve and it wouldn't be anything to worry about. Katie, what I would do, I would take some betadine and alcohol and I would gently cleanse the area. And if it just looks like it's red and irritated, you might put something soothing on it, like a little bit of aloe vera, for example. If it's just a lot of dry skin, which is an issue for many dogs that are enjoying the winter months here in like we are in Ohio. You can get some coconut oil. It actually comes in a sort of like a tub, and you can put some on your hands and just rub her belly. It's very soothing and very good. Theoretically, you can rub the whole dog down in it, and then if you wanted to give her a bath, but this isn't the best weather for bathing. But you might try a little aloe vera, a little coconut butter, and if it's still not looking exactly the way you want it to, then I would say to give your veterinarian a holler. But I think probably just a contact allergy. Make sure there's no heat sources that she might be lying too close to. And not to worry about the cookies, because she will be just fine.
Okay. And I could it be maybe the shampoo? We did give her a bath maybe a week ago. And if so, it does say hyperallergenic shampoo, or, it does still have a fragrance. Is there something else that you'd recommend bathing her in?
You could just bathe her in something mild, maybe like organic oatmeal shampoo is something I've had good luck with.
Okay.
Yeah, you never want to use anything that's too, that's too rough or might additionally irritate an area that's already irritated. So just something mild like an oatmeal shampoo, I think would be perfect for you.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Katie, and we wish you and Koa a wonderful New Year.
Thank you so much. You too, and you've been very helpful today.
Oh, well, it's absolutely our pleasure. And do we have another caller on the line, I believe? I'm thinking that we just might. Well, this is Smart Animal Talk, and I'm your host, Dr. Carol Osborne. We are here in snowy Chagrin Falls, Ohio, about 30 minutes east of Cleveland. We welcome pet questions and offer pet consultations for dogs and cats. You can contact us toll-free at 1-866-DR-CAROL, and that's 866-372-2765. And we just might have another caller on the line. And I believe her name is Susan. Welcome to Smart Animal Talk, Susan. Susan, can you hear me? Susan, are you there?
Oh, hi. Yes. Hi, Dr. Carol. It's Susan.
Hi, Susan. Welcome to Smart Animal Talk. What's your pet question?
Okay. I have a question about my cat. She's getting older, and I've noticed recently that as she goes around corners in the house, she's just been falling over onto her side. And I took her to my normal vet, and they did an x-ray, and they said there was nothing wrong that they could determine, but I didn't know if you knew of any suggestions.
That's a great question. Now, Susan, is this kitty eating and drinking and urinating and defecating normally?
Yes. In fact, she's always been slightly overweight, and she hasn't lost any weight despite our best efforts.
Okay. And did she just suddenly start losing her balance?
Yeah. It's not sudden. It's just been kind of gradual. I've just noticed, going around to corners and things like that.
Okay. Well, there is a situation. Nobody knows exactly why it occurs, but it's called idiopathic vestibular syndrome. And it's a syndrome that can occur for no apparent reason. It happens most often in the spring and the fall. And the kitties start losing their balance and falling over. It's very scary to a pet owner. Normally, we bring these kitties into the veterinarian. As I said earlier, everything else checks out fine. They're eating, they're drinking, their heart and lungs are normal. Everything's fine, but they're falling over. The vestibular nerve is something that is involved with hearing as well as equilibrium. That nerve runs through the inner ear. So usually what we do is we put these cats on a course of prednisone, which is a steroidal anti-inflammatory drug. And what that normally does is relieves the pressure on that nerve. And usually within 7 to about a maximum of 14 days, these cats are doing just fine, and they're all the way back to normal.
Does so that, it clear up without treatment ever, or do you have to use the prednisone?
Quite honestly, in my experience as a veterinarian, which is over 20 years, I've seen a handful of these cases, and in my experience, they do require treatment. But the good news is that they normally recover without incident, and they're just fine. And it could happen again, and it might not. In my experience, it's very sporadic. I did see one cat that had it twice. But that's usually it. It just comes and goes. No really apparent reason. And not to be upset or worried, I would just see your veterinarian, explain the situation. And normally these cats do just excellently. And if you have any further questions, Susan, you're more than welcome to contact us after the show. Again, the 1-866 Dr. Carol, and I would be glad to talk to you after the show if I could help you further.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, you're more than welcome. And for all of our pet-loving listeners out there, this is Smart Animal Talk. We welcome questions for all kinds of pets, dogs, cats, horses, ferrets, chickens, you name it. So go to allpawspettalk.com, go to that homepage, give us your question, send us your information, and we'll have you on the air, and we'll address your pet questions. And again, I'm your host today, veterinarian and fellow pet lover, Dr. Carol Osborne. And please don't turn that switch, because we're going to be right back after this brief station break with more from Smart Animal Talk.
And anytime you're near.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great, I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great, I love food.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Attention all pet lovers. Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust, mites, and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called. He digs the garden and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers, remote trainers, have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-collar technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Collars that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Welcome back to Smart Animal Talk. I'm your host today, Dr. Carol Osborne, and we're back with Jerry Dunham. Welcome to the show, Jerry.
Thank you.
And we were talking about the Coonhound Companions, and what I'm curious about is why aren't the big players, you know, in the animal shelter world, you know, they're very big on pit bull adoption and cat adoptions. Why aren't these people talking about, you know, coonhound adoptions? Why are they sort of getting left in the you know, doorway?
I wish I knew. My theory is that pit bull and cat issues are pretty well national, and the really big problem with the hounds is regional. It's the old States of the Confederacy, where the coonhounds fill up shelters and just go there to die. I don't know if that's it. I can't think of any other excuse for it. But that's what we're trying to fill with Coonhound Companions.
So tell me, when it comes to coonhound, is there like a most famous coonhound?
Well, probably the current most famous coonhound is Maddie. You can go to the website, www.maddieonthings.com. And I won't go into the full story. You can see it there, but she is a red tick English coonhound, has become quite famous for her national tour with photographs taken all over the country.
Oh, wow. That's exciting. Is there also a famous foxhound?
Probably the current most famous foxhound is Jewel. I think winning Westminster pretty much guarantees being famous. And she was this year's winner.
That would definitely do it. Now, what year did she win? Did she win the show in?
This year.
She won this year.
She retired at the end of this year.
Uh-huh. And I would think that would spark a lot of interest in foxhounds.
Well, one would hope so. I really haven't seen that much difference, but you always worry, of course, that it'll spark puppy mills and the like, but I don't think that's going to happen in our case.
So tell me and all of our pet-loving listeners, how did what's a brief history as far as how the coonhound and how the foxhounds developed?
Well, it's all very intertwined. It all goes back to fox hunting hounds in England, the English foxhounds that were brought over here in the very early days of colonial U.S. and were used for hunting foxes here, but our terrain was different, and they began to work on redeveloping the breed into something more suitable to the U.S. And the primary player in developing the American foxhound was a guy by the name of George Washington.
How do you like that?
Coonhounds are largely, with the exception of the plot hound, coonhounds are a development of the foxhound, mixing other things in, often things like bloodhounds or other European hounds, to develop a dog that's better suited for driving a quarry up a tree.
Uh-huh.
So now, we end up with things like black and tans and blue ticks and red bones and all that, but they all pretty much have ancestry in the American foxhound.
And when it comes to coonhounds, what's the story on the coonhound?
Well, that is it. The coonhounds were developed from the foxhounds just to hunt different quarry. Some actually focus on bear, not just coons, but and some are used for other things like wild hogs. But coons were the focus, and there for the name.
So the coonhound breed as a whole was developed to chase raccoons, or explain that to our viewers, to our listeners.
They were a development of the foxhound, where hounds were chosen because they had an interest in driving things up trees and holding them there till the hunter got there. Typical foxhound will, once something has gone off a tree, will wander away from it. That's not really what they were bred to do. And other breeds were mixed in to make them better at tracking that kind of animal. And it has resulted in, today, 6 AKC-recognized coonhound breeds, although there are a couple more that are developing as well. They're lesser known.
I see. So now, what was it that they would have mixed the foxhound with? Because a foxhound weighs maybe 15, 16, 17 pounds. How did they shrink them?
Foxhounds typically weigh, well, the one curled up behind me here weighs 72 pounds. That's pretty typical for a male foxhound. Female's a little bit lighter, and coonhounds are pretty much the same weight range as foxhounds. Females typically around maybe 50 to 55 pounds, males 65 to 75, maybe 80 pounds.
Okay. So I was thinking, I wasn't thinking of a foxhound. I think I was thinking of the little horse show dogs. What was I thinking of? The fox terriers, as opposed to the foxhound. So the coonhounds are coming in at what, like 100 pounds? I know those are giant, great big dogs.
Well, 100-pound coonhound is very unusual. I've met a couple that got to that level, but that's really getting up into majestic hound range. Coonhounds are typically smaller than that. They're typically, if you think of a lab or a pointer, they're in the same basic size range as a lab or a pointer.
Okay, well, that helped, because I got a little bit confused on that one myself. What kind of a difference do you think that your work is making with respect to getting these coons hounds and these foxhounds into good homes?
Well, we'd like to think we'd changed the world entirely, but we haven't. It's a cultural thing, and it takes a lot of work for a lot of time and probably a generational change. But we have seen some changes. One of the Wisconsin shelters that was one of the first to use our promotional posters says that they went from an average time to place a coonhound in a home of 2 months to, when using our materials, about 2 weeks. So it's making a difference. At least in some areas, it takes time to get shelters involved and on board with this kind of thing. So it's a long-term project.
And is there anything that our pet-loving listeners can do to try to spread the word and get a little bit of momentum going about, bringing attention to all these coonhounds and foxhounds that need homes and make good dogs despite the current belief?
Well, I guess the starting point is really back to our website, www.coonhoundcompanions.com, where you can really learn about them and what's going on with them. Our Facebook page is active, and you can learn a lot about them there. And from that, hopefully be an advocate yourself when dealing with other people, when you run into people who are looking for a pet that you think might be appropriate homes for these dogs. And, of course, Every home is appropriate for different breeds, so you're looking for something that's appropriate for these breeds.
Sure. And what's the best advice? Absolutely. And what's the best advice you could give to somebody that's considering adopting a hound?
Go through a rescue group. As much as you would like to get them out of shelters, each dog, and this is true of any breed, each dog is an individual. They aren't all like what you might think from reading about the breed. So you really want to go through a rescue group that knows the dog that they have, which a shelter simply cannot do. If you live in an urban environment and can't handle a dog that is very, very loud, then you need to let the rescue group know what your requirements are and let them match a dog to you. And that will save dogs from shelters, because every time you open up a spot in a rescue group, that allows them to pull another dog from a shelter.
Sure. And are there any disorders, other than ear infections that you can think of that a potential you know, person might need to be aware of before making this adoption?
Well, hounds are still today primarily working breeds. They're not bred for show or other non-functional goals, so they tend to be extremely healthy. The ears are an issue, but it's not a major issue. It just requires attention.
Sure.
But other than that, they tend to be very healthy breeds. We do see a fair amount of cherry eye and entropion. Those are things that once fixed are fixed. And, you know, if you're looking at a dog in a rescue group, it either has it or it doesn't, and the rescue group is either taking care of business or not.
Okay, well, that Jerry, I don't want to cut you short. That makes a lot of sense. And for all of our pet-loving listeners out there, remember, coonhounds and foxhounds, a little bit noisy, but they're loving and they make great pets. So if you're considering a coonhound for adoption, go to coonhoundcompanions.com. Jerry, we can't thank you enough for joining us today. And please stay tuned. I'm your host, Dr. Carol Osborne, and we'll be right back with more of Smart Animal Talk after this brief station break.
I'm your doggy,
I'm your doggy,
and I love you,
and I love you,
and you know that
you know
I need you.
I really do.
Has your life gone to the dogs? Are you at your wit's end? We can help. At America's Canine Academy, our specialists can put an end to the mutt mayhem and magically stop the destructive behaviors that your crazed canine has developed. We offer step-by-step guidance and make sense techniques that will turn your problem dog into a calm, stable, and well-behaved companion. And we can even do it all by phone. Even from afar, we can assess a dog-gone-wrong situation and help you recapture your sanity. Call 877-WE-WHISPER, americascanineacademy.net. Where dog whisperers are trained.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Smart Animal Talk. I'm your host today, Dr. Carol Osborne. We've got a great show, and right now we've got a caller on the line. Welcome to the show, Hallie.
Hi. I was calling for advice on what to do. I have a Cocker Spaniel who has chronic ear infections.
Okay. Go ahead, Hallie.
I was just wondering what the best way for long-term treatment would be to avoid costly vet bills.
Okay, well, that's a great question. And this is Hallie from Hawaii, and she's got a Cocker Spaniel with an ear problem. And Hallie, that's a common problem. In fact, it's so common in Cocker Spaniels that we actually call it Cocker Ear. And it happens in a lot of the dogs with the long, floppy ears because it's a dark, damp, sort of area because that ear flap keeps it that way. So basically what we want to try to do is get as much air into the ear as we possibly can. And the most simple way for you to do that at home would be to clip the inside of the ears if you can. If you have a little pair of clipper blades and you use a number 10 blade, you can just sort of shave the whole inside of that ear flap so it's nice and clean. And then talk to your veterinarian, and your veterinarian will give you an ear cleaner, or you can even buy one online, for example, like an Otocleanse. And that's something that you just squirt in, massage in the ear canal, and then with a little cotton or gauze, you can wipe out the debris. For people that might want to make their own little ear cleaning solution at home, a little bit of lemon vinegar and water also makes a nice little ear wash. Once the ear is cleaned and you've removed the residue, there are several medications that you can apply. Momentamax is one available through your veterinarian that I think is excellent because it attacks the bacteria as well as the fungi. And oftentimes in ears, we've got a combination of both. There are certainly many other, you know, products that are available that work very well in ears too. And once you have the ear infection cleared, the way that you know that is because the brown, black, or yellowish residue will stop coming out on your cotton. And when you lift the ear, that horrible smell will also be gone. And once you get the ears cleaned up and the ear infection under control, my suggestion would be maybe every couple of weeks to just take your clipper blades and shave the inside of that ear flap so that you've gotten rid of as much hair as possible. And then in the little ear canal, sometimes you have to take a little pair of forceps and actually pluck the hair out of the ear canal once again so that air can get in there. And then if you just clean your dog's ears out, Hallie, you know, maybe twice a week, every third or fourth day. And the first time that you notice the residue coming back on your cotton, or you smell that smell, then that's the time to start applying your medication, basically cleaning those ears out once a day in the morning and then medicating them once or twice a day using the Momentamax, you know, or another product that your veterinarian, you know, might recommend for you. Does that help a little bit?
No, absolutely. That was very helpful.
Okay, well, we're certainly glad you called, and you keep us posted on how your cocker's ears are doing.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Carroll.
Okay, and thank you, Hallie, and you have a wonderful new year.
All right. Thank you.
Well, for all of our pet-loving listeners out there, we're all looking forward to a great new year, and if you've got questions about your pets, any kind of pet at all, it could be a dog, a cat, a chicken, a horse, even a lamb. Just give us a call. You can log on to the website, allpawspettalk.com. Just scroll down that homepage. Give us your name, your question. And if you have a specific host that you would like to address that question, just let us know that as well. And we will do our very best to answer your question and get you on the air live with us so that we can help your pet enjoy a healthier, happier life. I'm your host, veterinarian Dr. Carol Osborne. We're here in Chagrin Falls, Ohio, with all kinds of snow. So remember, if you've got a dog back here in this area of the country, right now there's all kinds of things to watch out for as the snow flies. The biggest one is antifreeze. If you're changing the antifreeze in your car, or if you've got a radiator leak, make sure you keep your pets well out of the way of that home. A tablespoon of antifreeze is enough to kill most dogs, and a teaspoon is all it takes for a cat. So when you're doing your antifreeze, check in your radiator, make sure that your pets are not in that area. And when you're finished, make sure those chemicals are closed tightly and you place them up on a shelf high out of paw reach. Now, what else do you have to worry about in the winter? All kinds of things. Frostbite. Remember, dogs like you and I are all susceptible to frostbite. The areas of your dog and cat most susceptible would be the tip of the tail, the nose, the ears, and obviously the paws. If you notice that your pet has frostbite, you want to bring the pet in. You want to wrap him in a warm towel. You don't want to rub him. Give him a little bit of warm broth and obviously call your vet. Now, as far as people worried about the salt and all the de-icing chemicals out there, again, these are very irritating to your pet's feet so you can go to one of the little pet stores and buy some nice booties. But if that's not an option, you just take a little pint bottle, fill it half with alcohol and half with water, and you can spritz your pet's feet off when he or she comes in from doing their business outside. And that will make their feet feel a whole lot better. Now, remember, when it's cold out, you've got to eat a little bit more so you can make energy to stay warm. So feed your pets a little bit more. And if anybody's got a pet that actually has to live outside, make sure that that pet has a well-insulated house with a wind flap that is protecting your pet. Make sure you've got food and water in that house out there. And because the temperatures are freezing, you might want to start with actually hot water that your dog will be able to enjoy for a few hours until it becomes icy cold. And also remember, for those of you with older pets, when the temperatures are very cold or even when they're very hot, it's a time of stress, which is particularly important for those of you with older pets, with geriatric animals, and with the very young animals and even those that are pregnant. This is just not good weather to be outside romping in. And as far as if a pet is too hot or too cold, remember, pets are pretty much like you. If it's too cold for you, it's too cold for your pet. So let them go outside, but remember they're out there and bring them in before it's too darn cold outside. Well, we are wishing all of our pet-loving listeners a wonderful new year, and we'd love for you to call. Give us ideas, tell us about your pet, and give us your pet questions. We'll bring you on the air, and we'll answer them for any kind of pet that you might have. And I'm your host, veterinarian Dr. Carol Osborne. We're here in snowy Chagrin Falls, Ohio. We welcome pet health consultations and answer questions about dogs and cats. You can call our office toll-free at 1-866-DR-CAROL, and that's 866-372-2765. You can also visit us online at carolonpets.com or www.drcarol.com, which is abbreviated drcarol.com. We look forward to you each and every week on Smart Animal Talk. We will be back with you next week. And until then, I'm your host, Dr. Carol Osborne. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you back here next week with some more Smart Animal Talk. And anytime you're near,